Awareness, the final frontier. These are the explorations of Jonathan Robinson and Brian Tom O'Connor. Their continuing mission, to discover fresh new paths to the mystery within, to seek out new joys and new methods of awakening, to boldly go into the heart of expanded consciousness. This is Awareness Explorers.
I love the drama of our opening. It sounds like we are on an adventure. I was watching a video of Elon Musk yesterday, and you know, he's doing SpaceX and Tesla and trying to change the world. And I'm arrogant enough to think that Awareness Explorers and the exploration of consciousness is the thing that's really going to change the world. And so that's why I like our opening. And so it's good to hear my co-host, who is here with me,
Brian Tom O'Connor.
And I'm Jonathan Robinson. Welcome back to another episode where we are going to talk about shifting identity and what that means and how to do it and all kinds of issues that come up when one tries to shift one's identity from this ego-encapsulated skin bag, which sometimes I've heard people referred to something a lot larger, more expansive. And I wouldn't mind having that expansion today because I've been identifying with a very small part of myself that is having a relationship issue. And relationships are great for really shrinking your identity to a very small problem. I'm sure you can probably relate to that one, Brian.
Oh, yes, absolutely. They are. They really can trigger things from way back in our childhoods. Relationships and family and the people we love, they all know how to push our buttons and challenge us to shift our identity to something larger than that ego problem solver defense person who just wants it not to be my fault.
Yeah, yeah. I once heard Ram Dass, a great spiritual teacher, say that if you want to take your spiritual temperature, see where you're at, spend a week with your parents or your family, and you'll get a pretty clear picture of how evolved and expanded you are.
That's right. And people should listen to our last podcast episode with, or maybe it was two episodes ago, with Lynn Marie Lumiere, all about relationships, for some really great insight on this.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm working the program using various tools, and I find that I go from the identity of poor me, this unloved three-year-old, to infinite consciousness. And it's a little bit of a shift to go from one to the other and back again. So I want to talk about with you, Brian, the idea of how we shift our identity, what it means to shift our identity, and maybe some practical tools for helping our listeners to do that. But the reason it's so central is because, you know, we're born into an expanded identity as a baby where we're just there, but then we take on the problems of a 10-year-old and then a teen, and we're trying to get approval and love, and it's very busy doing all that. And we get into a very small ego self. If you look at teens and social media, they're very busy trying to get likes and trying to make their body look good. And to some extent, we take that into adulthood. And all that gets in the way of us entering into an expanded identity as awareness, or any expanded identity, because there's more than just one expanded identity. In fact, I think that's an interesting subject. What are some of the other expanded identities people can have besides being a little ego trying to eke out their existence in the world?
Well, really, any other kind of expanded identity other than universal consciousness or awareness is just another form of ego. People can feel that they're expanded, and they can have a spiritual ego, or they can have a control ego, like many politicians have, or artists, and think that they are bigger and better than other people. But the shift in identity that we're talking about really is the shift from the small self. I call it the shift from the little me to the big I. The little me is my personality, my ego, my name, my body. And the big I is what all of that is appearing in. And it is really what we mean when we say I, if we look beyond the personality and the ego. And it is pure, empty awareness, which experiences all things. And the reason that it's central to awareness practices, as we talk about, is because it's allowing and accepting, and it's already there, and it's already okay with everything that's happening. And it's unconditional love, and it's here right now, and it's actually us. So that when we shift our attention to it, we naturally feel better because we're more loving.
I agree with most of what you said, but I always take opportunities to see if I can disagree, because we agree on so much. So I think that there are other ways to shift your identity that are expansive, that are not having to do necessarily with becoming awareness. For example, one can shift their identity to saying that you are a child of God, or you're connected to Jesus, or something like that, which is expansive, but different than being awareness. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they are different from being awareness. I think that they are just another concept that we can lay on us. But when they are looked at from the right angle, they can actually be a pointer to expanded consciousness, because we can think of ourselves as larger. You know, I'm not really comfortable talking about Jesus and God and all that kind of stuff. And the reason is because it really is asking for argument.
Uh-huh.
And that actually points people in the opposite direction.
Say more about asking for argument.
Basically, when you start talking about religion, you can't help getting into dogma, and you can't help getting into belief systems that people really hold dear and protect and are very defensive about. So when you bring it up, you're basically inviting argument over dogma and faith. And it's actually pointing towards the conceptual mind, and away from the real, true identity of open, clear, universal consciousness.
Uh-huh. I hear what you're saying. Well, let's take it out of religion and dogma and say some people I know, I have met, live in nature and see themselves as a child of nature. And they see themselves somehow connected to nature in an expansive way that I don't really get, but it looks different than ego consciousness. And I'm wondering if there's different identities people can have and different density of stories. So normally we have a very dense stories. You can look at teenagers and you can see that they have levels and levels of stories on them that they are filtering the world through, that makes it very unlikely that they're going to expand into pure consciousness. But as we get older, some of those layers can come off, or you can have an experience such as a near-death experience, or an experience with psychedelics, or an experience with nature or some religion, that enters you into a less dense identity, a less dense story that can be very useful for shifting your identity to a higher and higher level, and maybe that eventually ends in awareness or not. But I'm wondering what you think of this idea of that there are less dense identities.
Well, a less dense identity is good. The more we're involved in the story about ourselves, the more we're involved in conceptual thought, and the more that takes us in the opposite direction from our true nature, which is actually non-conceptual. But I think your example of connecting to nature is a really good one. If a person thinks of themselves as a child of nature, then there's actually two ways they can go. They can just think of themselves as some sort of natural person, and that's part of their personality, that they like nature and they wear and eat natural things. And that's just another concept and another story on it. But the other way of looking at being a child of nature is that you're related to nature, you're connected to nature, and that can lead to a feeling of actually being one with nature. Because I don't really see nature and humans as separate. Humans are part of nature. We are in nature. We are part of nature. Nature is everything that exists. We are everything that exists. And nature, as everything that exists, is actually what's looking out through our eyes. It's who we are. So
in a,
it comes back. I always circle back. I have to admit, I always circle back.
I like that about you. But then in that example, you're kind of saying that whether it be nature or drugs or almost dying, these can all lead to slight identity shifts that maybe are pointing us more towards the direction of truth, and can therefore be useful, because it's not necessarily an either or thing, ego or total freedom. It might be ego, less dense identities, and then freedom.
Yes, less dense identities are better than more dense identities.
And right.
Any pointer to more freedom is welcome, even though it may only point you just a little bit closer each time.
Yeah. Now, it gets hard and subtle because almost everything in our culture is trying to give us more dense identities. You know, a materialistic culture, you need to buy this. You're an alcoholic. You need to deal with this. You're somebody who's been traumatized. We all feel like victims nowadays because the society kind of likes us to feel that way, so it can sell us some kind of solution to be our being a victim.
That's right. We all identify with the products that we like, with the beliefs that we share with others, with our status in relation to our community, with our sense of victimhood. Yes, these are all things that are so easy for us to identify with. They actually lure us. They call us. They say, please identify with this aspect of yourself, your beliefs, your likes, your dislikes, your brands. And all of it is, as I said before, taking us away from our true identity.
Yeah. There's not a lot of messages other than this podcast and other things like it in spiritual teachings that say, hey, right now you are free. You are basically awareness. That message is not given quite the same weight as the other 14,000 messages that say, this is your identity and that's just how it is. So that's a problem for sure. But what's even more of a problem, I think, is that even when you start to try to shift your identity to something higher or shift into awareness, that the mind is very subtle in fooling yourself. So some people say, I'm enlightened, or, you know, I'm a teacher. And that's all coming from ego.
Yes, well, anything that you can name is a concept, and you're not it. But it can help, possibly, to think of yourself as, for example, the universe, or God looking out through my eyes, or the universe looking out through my eyes, or pure, clear, empty awareness. It can help. But even those are concepts. And ultimately, we want to let go of all those self-defining concepts, because who we are is non-conceptual.
It's empty.
It's empty, right. It's the nothing that's everything. And it's so difficult for the mind to grasp this. I mean, we sit around, you and I, coming up with words because we're trying to help communicate this to people. But nothing we say, nothing we could possibly say, is actually the absolute truth. Words don't do it.
I take offense to that.
Present company accepted.
Of course. Though you made an interesting point that you might take on an identity, like some of the words you said, like, I'm a child of God, or what were some of the others that you said?
Child of nature, enlightened person, spiritual person. Any of those you can take on as a conceptual identity.
And that conceptual identity could, as you feel into it, point you in the right direction, as long as you don't take it too seriously. And that's a problem, is our minds are always grabbing on and holding tight to identities, even spiritual ones, and that interferes with us letting go into the emptiness / fullness of awareness.
Yes.
I've known some people who took on the identity of I am a guru or I am a teacher, and they held on really friggin' tight to that identity, and it was about as tight as any rock star holding on to their identity.
Yep, sure. I've seen that too.
Yeah, so knowing that that's a product of our mind and what we do hopefully helps us to not take our stories of who we are so seriously. And that's why I've seen in a lot of the most enlightened people I've ever met, they have a great sense of humor about themselves. They don't take themselves too seriously.
Yes, I've noticed that too. Well, at least, I mean, and that might just be my particular attraction. I'm attracted to teachers who are not pretentious and who don't take themselves too seriously and have a good sense of humor, because they seem to be happier. And as much as we might value enlightenment and awakening, I didn't get into this for the purpose of enlightenment or awakening. I just wanted to be happy. I just didn't want to be depressed anymore. And I thought that maybe a shift in identity from the personality to something bigger and more inclusive might be a good way to bring about more happiness. And in my experience, it was.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed in my interviews with a bunch of seemingly awakened people that a lot of them went through a lot of depression. You know, Eckhart Tolle, Byron Katie, two very famous teachers, but other teachers as well, where they just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And in that extreme misery or extreme motivation, their identity suddenly shifted to awareness. But for most of us, it's a slower process. And I've seen with the Law of Awakened people that they said that at some point they no longer identified with their personality, and they started to refer to that person in the third person, like Jonathan thinks, or Jonathan's having a hard time with this, because they are awareness and they're aware of this personality that does things, but they no longer really take it like it's them. It's like more of a backpack that they carry with them.
Right. Well, that can be a little problematic in dealing with people in an everyday world. You don't want to go into a store and say, Brian wants to buy a couple of tomatoes. But I understand where they're coming from because it's true. They are not their names. We are not our personality. Our personality appears in the larger I that we are. But I'm also glad that you brought up the fact that sometimes it's gradual and sometimes it's sudden, and that there are many ways. I mean, we can get into the practices, for instance, self-inquiry, a little later. But you brought up Eckhart Tolle, for instance, and he was very, very depressed for a long time and almost suicidal. And he said to himself, "I cannot live with myself any longer." And then this thought occurred to him after he said that: "Am I one or two? If I can't live with myself, there must be two of me, the I and the self that I can't live with. Maybe only one of them is real." And this caused a huge shift in identity, which led to an awakening to the true reality that he is. And then he wrote about it in his books and really have helped a lot of people towards knowing themselves as this happiness.
I had a glimpse of letting go of my identity once, which was very interesting. And it was kind of funny how it happened. I was playing baseball one day and went to catch a fly ball and caught it, evidently, but hit my head as I fell back. So, from what my friend said, I then was the next person at bat. I hit a home run, ran around the bases, then sat down on the bleacher, and I'm talking to my friend, and I asked him what day it was, and he said, "It's Tuesday." I said, "Thank you." And then 30 seconds later, I asked him what day it was, and he said, "It's Tuesday." He said, "Do you know your name?" And I said, "No." Now, I felt fine, but it ended up I had no memory of anything.
Wow.
And I was just like, I just arrived on the scene and everything was new. And my friend said, "We better take you to the hospital." I said, "Okay." And as I'm walking to the car to go to the hospital, I'm asking questions about who this Jonathan character is and what he's like. But it was from a place of total curiosity, like I had no attachment to him. And it was a very profound experience because I totally let go of past, future, story, and I was just happily in that moment. And I think it was one of my best views of or glimpses of what the enlightened state is like. Like I'm just here right now, and everything else is kind of irrelevant. And it has stayed with me as a time where I shifted my identity from Jonathan to just an awareness of this moment, and it felt incredibly freeing. And unfortunately, Jonathan came back in full force a few hours later.
Yes, but what a great example and what a gift that you actually had that glimpse. And once you've had it, you're not going to forget that. That's going to stay with you. And so it can actually be a guidepost through life, that's the true self, and everything else is laid upon it. And in this case, it can actually disappear and come back. As a matter of fact, anything that can come and go is not true reality or is not your actual true nature. However, on the other hand, I would not wish a concussion on anybody, nor do we need something like that to shift our identity. There are actual practices that can help us get there.
Why don't we go into some of the practices that have been helpful for me are things like hanging out in nature or psychedelic drugs. I did have a near-death experience one time that helped me to get a glimpse of another reality and shift my identity temporarily. Also, of course, meditation, this concussion, a lot of things can do it temporarily, but really it comes down to having a practice that helps you to dip into that other world more and more frequently until something in our identity lets go. Ajahn Chah, when asked what enlightenment is, says it's basically a shift of identity from ego awareness to pure awareness. I think that's a really good definition.
Yes, absolutely. And Rupert Spira talks about knowing that your true nature does not share the shape, limits, and destiny of the mind or the body.
He's always very poetic.
Yes, he is.
I want to share one final story, and then maybe you can guide us in meditation. In this story,
Before you get to that story,
okay.
I just want to touch on self-inquiry, and I was wondering if then we could circle back to the
Sure.
story. But you don't have to have any of these accidental things happen to you. You can actually practice self-inquiry, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about that because it was so influential for me in developing awareness games and for other people in developing awareness practices. And it kind of came to the attention of the West through a couple of teachers in the mid-20th century in India, Ramana Maharshi, who taught a practice that he called Atma Vichara, which is self-inquiry, or some people define it as self-abiding or self-resting, in which you ask yourself, who am I? And not to get a conceptual answer, but to point your attention back to the I, to the witness, to the experiencer. Nisargadatta Maharaj, the second of them, said, just stay with the sense I am. And he would do this over and over all day long. And again, it wasn't to add a new concept, but to point the mind to the background, to what is experiencing everything that is experienced. And that many people after them have developed other practices. For instance, if who am I doesn't work for you, you can ask, what is this me? Or what is awareness? Or am I aware? Or what is experiencing this right now? So these are self-inquiry practices that people can do, and they can do several times throughout the day. They don't require really long periods of meditation, although that's fine too.
Yeah, lately, as some relationship stuff has come up for me, and I've been dealing with some powerful feelings, uncomfortable feelings, I ask myself, what's this appearing in? Or it's in what? And of course, the answer, it's in awareness. And I get that like 1 or 2 second hit of shifting from the Jonathan experiencing an uncomfortable feeling to the witnesser of that feeling and being awareness where there are certain sensations in the field of awareness. So it's a very quick shift of identity by doing some of these self-inquiry practices. And I think that that's the key for most people in their being able to eventually create that big tipping point where most of their identity is actually in awareness. We all hope that we have the Eckhart Tolle thing, we're walking down the street and boom, it just shifts. But that's not how it happens for most people. It happens gradually for most people by putting moments of little shifts throughout the day that eventually the scales tip more and more towards how we are really awareness and the ego problems and feelings of your previous identity are more like just a little thing in the background.
Yes, that's beautifully put. And I loved when you talked about the feeling and then the shifting of attention. And what happens is that the feeling then, which had previously occupied your entire being and self and awareness, and it was so huge that it crowded out everything else, becomes just one small part of all that's appearing in that much larger, more spacious field.
You're very poetic too sometimes, Brian. I appreciate that.
And I don't even know it.
So I'm going to share this one quick story, and then you'll guide us on meditation. But I like this story because it always makes me laugh. A rabbi in a moment of devotion, of feeling connected to awareness, runs down the temple towards the Torah and says, "I'm a nobody, I'm a nobody." And the cantor, noticing this, feels his fervor, and he also runs down to the Torah, and he exclaims, "I'm a nobody, I'm a nobody." And the custodian, seeing these men in their religious fervor, is caught up in it, and he also runs down to the Torah, and they're all three on their knees saying, "I'm a nobody." The rabbi looks over at the custodian and says to the cantor, "Look who thinks he's a nobody." And what I like about that story is that it's very easy to even come up with an identity that we're a nobody, and that's not
right.
Quite it.
That's
you
right.
know, the mind is tricky that way, and we have to keep on letting go of our latest identity that we've hung on to and created.
Yep.
So it's a constant process of letting go into the emptiness or the fullness of pure awareness.
That's right. And that's why we said earlier that if you can come up with a word for it, that's not really who you are.
Yep. So why don't you lead us in a way of entering into nobodiness? And hopefully we won't take it too seriously and get attached to it.
Okay, that sounds good. So this is a meditation that's actually a combination of two awareness games. The first one is called Born Yesterday, or the Just Born Identity. And the second one is called Who's Noticing. So I hope that by combining them, they can lead to a little shift in identity. So first, as always, get comfortable. Take an easy, deep breath and relax. See if you can notice any tension or holding or clutching in your body. And just let it be as you breathe into it. Imagine you've just been born a few moments ago. Imagine you haven't learned any of the words or concepts or fears or ideas about yourself and the world that you've accumulated up to now. Imagine that none of the images about who you are and about what the world is like have formed yet. You know nothing of the world or of yourself. Imagine looking out through the eyes of a newborn child with no name yet, no self-definition, no concept of a separation between you and everything else. It all just is. Here I am. I'm here. It's all just appearing in me. My experience is me. I am my experience. Imagine that the I that's looking out through these newborn eyes continues to look out as I grow and learn things. Each new thing I learn is appearing to the same I, the same clear background of awareness that I am. When I hear a word or see an image, it appears in that clear background. But the background doesn't change with each new word or image. At 5 years old, it's the same clear background looking out through my eyes as when I was one. At 10 years old, it's the same clear, spacious awareness that I call I that was looking out through my eyes when I was 5. At 20, 30, 40, it's the same clear, spacious awareness that I call I that was looking out through my eyes when I was a little child. Now imagine you're the age you are, right here, right now. Are you hearing sounds? Who's noticing that sound? You may answer, I am. But who is this I? Who is this me that notices? Are you noticing thoughts flowing through your mind? Who's noticing those thoughts? I am. Who is that I? Who is this me that notices? Who is that voice in your head talking to? Are you noticing sensations in your body? Who's noticing those sensations? I am. But who is this I? What is this me that notices? Do you have an image of your body? Who sees that image? Is it your body or something bigger? Who has a body? Do you have an idea about your personality? Well, who's aware of that idea? Is it your personality or something bigger that contains your personality? Who or what has a personality? If I'm not my body, or my thoughts, or my personality, who or what am I? Remember the innocent, pure, clear awareness looking out of your eyes when you were just born. See if you can imagine, just for the duration of this little game, that who you are is that clear, empty, fresh, beautiful knowingness that includes your body, your thoughts, and your experience, but is bigger, more spacious than your body, your mind, or your personality. Let go of all concepts about yourself. Let go of all images of yourself. Let go of all borders or edges to yourself. That borderless, infinite field is the universe looking at itself through your eyes. It's your true nature. You're not a concept because all concepts appear in you. You're not a self-definition because all self-definition appears in you. You're not your body because your body appears in you. Be that in which everything appears. Be awareness itself. I, awareness. I am. I.
Thank you, Brian. I needed that.
You're very welcome, Jonathan. Me too.
I am now having to find my identity as Jonathan so I can end this program. It's a little hard.
Well, the funny thing is, it's actually both and.
Yeah.
You are everything that exists, but you're also Jonathan.
Yeah, trying to get those two together is a lifelong pursuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. but a worthy one, and one that is truly the cutting edge of human evolution. So I hope our listeners find this helpful. If you do, tell everyone, blab it on the streets to your family, friends, subscribe to the podcast, blah, blah, blah. But it really does help to bring this up because our culture and society is trying to lead us down deeper, darker stories and identities that often feel very constricting. So become free, become aware, and keep exploring.
Keep exploring. Thank you for listening to Awareness Explorers. To learn more, you can check out our website at awarenessexplorers.com. Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app. And we'd love it if you would post a review. And please share our link on Facebook and with family and friends, because knowing yourself as awareness is the greatest gift you can give yourself or someone you love.